is acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you feel the call to go off to seminary and serve God as an ordained minister, you have to jump through a lot of hoops. Have to, first of all, go through a lot of discernment. It takes months, sometimes years, and off to seminary, and then take exams. And this whole thing is they're constantly testing you, constantly testing the individual to see if their call is genuine and they're willing to do this sort of thing. Once you pass through all of that, at the end, you take the final exams. These are called general ordination exams or canonicals. And these exams can be both oral and written. The general ordination exam is written. And there are all sorts of questions that they ask you, and you write them out just like we did with the old blue books back when we were in high school and college. So these are your thoughts, your position, how you see it. You don't have much time to do it. You have just a few minutes. Well, one of the questions that sticks out, which is it's about always ask, is this scenario. You're at the coffee hour, and a person comes up to you. I thought you saw them last week, but you're not sure, and they come up to you with a mission. They want something from you, and they come up to you eyeball to eyeball, and they say, "Father, tell me about the Trinity. Explain the Trinity to me." So that's your question. And you have like 20, maybe 30 minutes at the most to write that answer out. Now, seminaries are just like every other colleges. They repeat the questions over time. And so the upperclassmen and others will know what the questions are going to be, or see some of them. And so they say, they're always going to ask you about the Trinity, always. But under no circumstances give them the standard answers, the metaphors. Do not do that under no circumstances, or else you probably won't pass that part of the exam. So the standard metaphorical answers are, you've probably heard them, the Trinity is like water, H2O, two of hydrogen, one of oxygen, oh, three in one. And water exists as solid, ice, liquid, stuff we drink and swim in, and then sort of gas, water vapor. And water is very much necessary for life. This is going along pretty good now. But water can be very destructive under the wrong circumstances, like hurricanes and floods. Okay, don't tell them that. Well, the Trinity's like a three-leaf clover. Three leaves, one stem. It's beautiful. Three, one, okay, good. And how about this one? The Trinity is like an egg. I saw somebody bring in egg cartons this morning. Charlie Tudor brought in some egg cartons this morning. There he is. If you bring one of those eggs up, I'll demonstrate. No, I won't. Trinity is like an egg. It has a shell. It has the inner portion, which is white, and that's the protein. Then the yellow is the nucleus, that's the DNA of the soon-to-be chicken if it gets properly treated afterwards, or if we eat it. We eat it, it's good for us. It's life. It's life. So I tell you those not to respond that way if somebody asks you about the Trinity, because if you did on an exam, you probably would not do too well. The Trinity, Trinitarian thought, has caused a lot of angst and a lot of mischief and a lot of battles in the church, particularly the early church, as the church fathers, the patristic ones, the desert fathers, all these people were thinking about this. Who is this Jesus? What is the person of Jesus? And how does he figure in with God and then the Holy Spirit? How does all this mishmash together? Well, of course, there are always ideas and thoughts, and over time, particularly after Christianity became the official religion of Rome through the dictum of Constantine, there were sort of two camps that settled in. Arius was one of them, and Athanasius was the other one, and they were like this. like this with their different opinions. Athanasius was very much three in one, three persona in one God. It's one God, but it's three. And then Arius, well, you know, Jesus is pretty close, but not quite. And so they fought and fought and fought. So Constantine said, okay, I'm done with this. I made you guys the official religion of Rome. So show me some love. We're going to get together. We're going up this place called Nicaea. And we're going to get together on May the 20th in 325. We're going to hash this thing out. Little did they know, when they got there, he locked the doors. He said, nobody goes home till you guys come up with a statement of what a Christian is. What's your statement? A creed. Well, they battled it out for a long time. And over time, you know, it's political, but it's also that they decided that they would go with Athanasius. And so we have this creedal statement that came out of that, which we're going to say in a few minutes. We say it every Sunday. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. That is our statement. That is our creed. That's lasted 1,600 years, sort of. Even today, there are denominations in America and in the world that don't buy into this entirely. So it's still not pretty clear. It's never going to be clear. If you try to make it clear, empirical, scientific, didactic, etc., you're chasing your tail. Mm-hmm. But let's just think about God for just a moment here. Who is God? God is a mystery. Creation is a mystery. The whole story of God is mysterious in his relationship with his created people. The story of Jesus, the incarnate one, God becoming man, death, resurrection, ascension, all of these are mysteries. And we hear it, right? Nicodemus, he wasn't any smarter than the rest of us. He couldn't figure it out either. What does it mean? I must be born again. I must be born of spirit. Spirit, this is that mystery of all of this, all put together. And how do you experience a mystery? You experience it by experiencing it. It's experiential. That's the operative word. How we experience God as one in three, and three. How do we experience it? Well, if you are coming to our book club about Bishop Curry's book, Love is the Way, Finding Hope, you would have that answer. God is love, period. If there is no love, there is no God. If there is no God, there is no love. God is love. Love has created everything, sustains everything, brings everything into its fruition, into its fullness, into its full potential. God's love. And so how do we experience that? Well, I just, sometime today, maybe if you're just sitting around kind of reflecting, or maybe in the week, think of the ways you've experienced God's love in so many different people. Maybe it's a baby. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's someone who's dying. Maybe it's all of these different ways is the ways that we experience God's love. And that then becomes beyond Trinitarian, beyond three. God is so many different things because God expresses his love for us, his creation, and for his hope for us that we might be one with him at some point in time, if not now, some other time, but soon and real. God expresses that in God's love. Love, 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 love. So let me just give you a Trinitarian, my Trinitarian statement, other than the creed. God is eternal. God is love. Love is eternal and never ends. How do you like that? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.